This is Focus West Michigan for Friday, March 6, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Kent County educators say state and federal funding reductions are negatively impacting math and STEM students. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
K-Connect, Kent Intermediate School District, and Grand Valley State University have analyzed recent math and STEM education trends in Kent County. They discovered 2 in 5 students are proficient in 8th grade math. Kent ISD math consultant Rusty Anderson says the declines align with the timing of state and federal funding reductions.
Basically, any statewide strategy when it comes to STEM education or mathematics-specific supports at the state level were eliminated from the budget.
Kent County's 8th grade math proficiency has declined 6% over the past 3 years, with Michigan ranking 31st nationally. Students with the greatest competency drop-off live in poverty, are students of color, students with disabilities, and multilingual users.
It's about career tech ed, it's about the pipeline, it's about getting our children ready for the workforce of the future.
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's 2027 budget reaffirmed a strong commitment to investing in literacy support. But Anderson says math and STEM support deserve the same attention. Future budget recommendations show $20 million allocated for math and STEM education.
What we hope to see is that the recommendations that are in the executive recommendation hold true and that $20 million is preserved as the budget goes through the process, which is a great start.
I'm David Limbaugh.
It's not just the rise in gasoline prices impacting West Michigan consumers. The war in Iran could lead to an even bigger increase in the cost of diesel, and WGVU's Phil Dawson reports that could add to the price of groceries and many other items transported by truck.
Whether it's the grocery store, the mall, whether you buy online, everything you buy moves with diesel.
GasBuddy.com petroleum analyst Patrick DeHaan says the war in Iran is pushing up the price of oil, partly because Iran is a major oil producer, but especially because they're threatening tankers who dare to sail through the Strait of Hormuz.
20% of the world supply of oil does flow through the Strait of Hormuz. Iran could potentially launch attacks on vessels transiting through the Strait of Hormuz.
Until that is solved, oil prices may continue to move higher.
DeHaan says diesel is rising particularly fast. A Saudi diesel refinery is offline after a drone strike, and demand is up because shipments of natural gas are also blocked, and consumers around the world are switching to diesel-burning furnaces.
Diesel prices are going to rise even more dramatically than that of gasoline. It may climb another 40 to 80 cents a gallon over the next several weeks.
DeHaan says it's difficult to predict how high the price of gasoline will go in West Michigan.
Many stations across the state already now, $3.39 a gallon. Next week, we could see $3.49. We could even see a little bit above that. I don't yet see $4 a gallon mark, though the situation is unpredictable.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Some good news if you need help filing your City of Grand Rapids income tax return. WGVU's Jennifer Moss reports more hours are being added to help local residents.
The City of Grand Rapids Income Tax Office is adding evening and weekend hours to assist residents and non-residents before the April 30th filing deadline. The office will now be open starting March 14th on select Saturdays from 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. The regular hours remain the same, which is Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. with walk-ins welcome. Residents of Grand Rapids must file a city income tax return no matter where they work. Non-residents who work in Grand Rapids must file a non-resident return. Jennifer Woodard, Grand Rapids Income Tax Administrator, says, quote, "We know filing taxes can feel overwhelming, and our goal is to make the process as easy and accessible as possible." She adds, "By offering evening and weekend hours, we're giving residents and non-residents more flexibility to get the help they need and ensure their returns are filed accurately and on time," end quote. The Income Tax Office is located on the third floor of City Hall. The deadline to file 2025 city income tax returns is Thursday, April 30th. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Representatives from Microsoft hosted a community event in Lowell on Thursday, the second of two meetings in West Michigan this week, sharing information on proposed data centers in the region. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
The Microsoft community events were open house, show and tell style, with tables, poster boards, and experts arranged around the room. Scientists, engineers, and community partners explained details and answered questions on data center basics, design, environmental, and economic impact. impacts.
Big corporations are not well known for caring about their local neighbor if their headquarters is 1,000 miles away.
John lives in Door Township, where a data center is under consideration. He attended the event in Gaines Township, concerned about how Microsoft's cooling systems could affect the local water table.
There's a closed system plan that seems to deal with that. So
Sue Sarver lives in Gaines Township, right across the street from the proposed site off Patterson Avenue.
You know, I really would prefer not having a driveway into my house. Also, we're concerned about how they're going to mitigate the building itself from us having to look at it.
Sarver remains skeptical, saying much of the plan is still unknown.
Because we hear all these things, but yet they say it's not going to change, which I really and truly don't believe.
Microsoft is expected to present a proposal to rezone its Gaines Township property later this month. I'm Dee Morrison.
The Urban League of West Michigan hosted its 11th annual African American Male Achievement Conference on Friday. As WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, its focus was on improving the lives of black teenaged boys.
This day is a day of empowerment, enrichment, and encouraging young African American males, or young kings as we will call them all day today, encourage them to be the men that they were designed and destined to be.
Paris McMurray is co-chair of the African American Male Achievement Conference. Committee. He says the event is attended by over 1,000 black boys from 8th through 12th grade, with over 80 black men providing guidance on becoming positive young men in the community and the world.
We have a myriad of courses for the young men to go through, where they will be getting information about financial literacy. They will be getting information about physical and mental health. They will be getting information that will just help them improve their lives day to day.
McMurray notes the event unites young black men to face shared struggles and succeed together.
This day, they see a show of unity across the greater Grand Rapids community, but also they're able to see professional men that look just like them that they may want to aspire to be like one day in the future.
The annual event is a collaboration between Grand Rapids Public Schools, Grand Rapids Community College, Grand Valley State University, the City of Grand Rapids, and Urban League of West Michigan. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf has the preview of this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. Some Michigan lawmakers are calling for amending the state constitution so utility regulators would be elected instead of appointed. We have more from Rick Pluta.
Right now, the three members of the Michigan Public Service Commission are appointed by the governor and confirmed by the state senate. Democratic State Representative Reggie Miller says voters deserve a bigger say on government officials who have a big impact on their daily lives. The commission has jurisdiction over setting utility rates, locating data centers, and ensuring reliable energy.
And the goal of the proposal is to give Michigan residents a direct voice in who serves on that commission.
The proposal would also expand the commission to 5 members. The candidates would be nominated at state party conventions. Republican House Speaker Matt Hall says he'd prefer to simply remove much of the commission's authority and have the legislature cut utility rates. I'm Rick Pluta.
Advocates for maternal health and well-being gathered in Detroit on Thursday night to call for more support for mothers. Colin Jackson has more.
During the State of the Mama event, advocates pushed to take cash assistance programs for pregnant and new mothers statewide, expand childcare access, and stop immigration crackdowns in medical settings. The group Mothering Justice hosted the night. Founder Danielle Atkinson says policymakers need to center moms in their work.
It turns out when we invest in mothers, everyone wins. And that's what leadership looks like when government chooses to center families. And it is on us to demand that our leaders do so.
Many elected officials and candidates for state and federal office attended. They mostly agreed on the policy front, calling for universal health care and paid family leave. I'm Colin Jackson in Detroit.
4 GOP candidates for governor attended a campaign forum in Saginaw Thursday night. The event, held at Saginaw Valley State University, was one of the largest on the campaign trail so far. Opposition to data centers and affordable housing were big topics of conversation. Billionaire Perry Johnson won a straw poll with 46% of the vote. 22-year-old James Asher is the communications director for the Michigan Young Republicans. He says the economy is top of mind this election.
People want to know that taxes are going to be cut, that regulations are going to be cut. For conservative voters, that seems to be the top issue. And also, I would say they want a candidate who is going to be supported by President Trump's.
Pastor Ralph Rebant, State Senator Eric Nesbitt, and former State House Speaker Tom Leonard also attended the event. Frontrunner and Michigan Congressman John James did not attend. Primary elections will be held on August 4. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit wgvunews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. The Bride is in theaters this week, the second movie inspired by Mary Shelley's Frankenstein in recent months. This version, riffing off various movie stories, throwing in a Bonnie and Clyde subplot, Hoppers is a new animated family picture, and Protector is an action crime thriller. All of that and more from WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Rigetti from Studio C for our weekly movie talk.
Was I just the same before the accident?
There wasn't any accident. Everything we did it on purpose.
The Bride. We have The Bride, directed by Maggie Gyllenhaal, which is a counterfactual of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, putting it into the 1930s Chicago era. And here in the same year that we had Guillermo del Toro's adaptation of Frankenstein. And I remember seeing the trailer for this, Zach, and thinking, you know, this looks like a really whacked out movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's this sort of like very stylized version of, you know, Frankenstein. And also, you know, obviously following The Bride is, you know, Frankenstein's bride is sort of the main character. It's very like Bonnie and Clyde-esque, right? Maggie Gyllenhaal, who she did her directorial debut with The Lost Daughter a couple years ago, and then this is her second feature that she directed. She Christian Bale is playing Frankenstein.
Not actually Frankenstein, the monster.
The monster.
Frankenstein's monster.
And, you know, the last time they worked together was The Dark Knight. The first time they worked together was The Dark Knight. And then you've got Jesse Buckley, who's, you know, nominated for an Academy Award for Hamnet. She's playing the bride and delivers, I think, a great performance throughout the whole film. Jake Gyllenhaal's in this, and he's sort of, you know, an actor in the at the time setting. And
Who's Maggie's brother. And in fact, we should mention Maggie, before becoming a director, fantastic actress in her own right.
Correct. And so, yeah, I mean, it's currently 61% certified on Rotten Tomatoes. And I think, you know, it's one of those things where it's got a little bit of musical elements to it. Not necessarily a musical straight up, but like, you know, it has the asterisk-esque of a musical at times. You know, Frankenstein or the monster comes to sort of resurrect Jesse Buckley's character as the, you know, the bride. And they sort of, you know, begin their relationship together and go on a trip. They are essentially going on a road trip to see all of the destinations of you know, some of their favorite spots. But in the meantime,
that they remember when they were alive.
I think just ones that they've like connected to through sceneries and things, but, they, you know, along the way, there's sort of this havoc that they create. I mean, they are, the monster has this sort of, there's some detectives that are sort of following his trail. And so, you know, they're sort of on the trail of both of them as they kind of make their way through the city.
Because the monster is murdering people. So
correct.
Committing crimes.
Well, and it's also the, you know, the myth and legend about how he's been around for hundreds of years. And it's like no one's ever really seen him and, you know, all that stuff. So, yeah, it's this fun sort of like horror, sci-fi, crime thriller.
And then also we have Hoppers, directed by Daniel Chong and starring Piper Curta. And this is a science fiction film that I've heard really good things about so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's 96 certified percent fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know that you think about like an animated film and like need to know what the critic score of that is. But this is Pixar's 30th film. And it's directed by Daniel Chong, who you mentioned, who The only other film they directed was We Bare Bears, which was, I think, based on a limited series as well. And so, yeah, it follows Mabel, who essentially there's this program where they've built and designed sort of these animatronic beavers, and she has the ability to essentially upload her consciousness into it to like roam the forest, and starts to like, you know, create relationships with other animals that are existing in the forest. And obviously there's a little bit of, deforestation going on, and sort of how do you approach that? And also, you know, care for the things you love. But it's like, she's not stuck, you know, as that, like, it's just like a sort of a machine that allows her to do this. So the joke here is that, or like what's been talked about online is that it's essentially just Avatar, but with animals. They've even, I think, taken a stab at, you know, sort of leaning in on the joke. There was some ads running during the Olympics that I saw that were, you know, essentially them just saying, you know, well, this is just Avatar with animals. And then the characters from the film being like, no, it's not. You know, it's way more than that. And so I'm really excited to sit down and see this one. Like, it looks fantastic. Elio, which was like the last Pixar film last year, was a fantastic film. I had a great time. And so I'm really excited for this one.
Also a film called Protector.
Yeah, yeah. This is coming from Adrian Grunberg, who directed Rambo Last Blood. Milla Jovovich is in this. It's her daughter is essentially kidnapped, and she's, you know, she's the one that's going to go and get her back. She's, you know, she's ex sort of like military. It's very like Taken-esque, if you will. But I've heard that her performance is pretty great, and also just that like a lot of the stunts she did, you know, most of them. And so it's sort of this gritty, you know, crime adventure. And then in addition to that, too, if you've watched Peaky Blinders, which Netflix had, it was a 6-season series from 2013 to 2022, sort of end capped the whole thing. You know, they were sort of asked if there would ever be any more. And you know, part of it, even like Cillian Murphy, who plays Shelby, one of the, you know, main characters, said, well, I'll revisit it if it's, you know, essentially if the script's good enough and if it feels like we should come back. And so for 2 weeks before it hits Netflix, you can see Peaky Blinders, The Immortal Man in theaters. It's 92% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I'm looking forward to seeing that one, too.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Zach.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, March 6, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Buehrling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.